This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
In a world where cyber warfare is the new battlefield, John Mariotti's The Chinese Conspiracy takes readers on a thrilling journey into the dark world of hacking, government conspiracies, and high-stakes cyber espionage. This gripping novel exposes the dangerous intersection of technology and power, where information becomes a new form of WMD, weapons of mass disruption, more dangerous than terrorist attacks. It's a wake-up call to humanity about the dangers of cyber terrorism and the need for vigilance in a world dependent on 20 billion interconnected devices. The Chinese Conspiracy gives us a glimpse into warfare of the future, and author John Mariotti is our guest next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Attention all timeshare owners. Do you want to know what your timeshare is really worth? Timeshares do have value. Don't throw away thousands of dollars with nothing in return, with only a promise to cancel your timeshare without a guarantee. And here's the best part. Should you decide to unlock the true value of your timeshare and get started, the burden of your maintenance fees completely will stop. We are so confident in our services that we will pay your maintenance fees while you sell for what your timeshare is truly worth. Don't delay this offer. It's only good for a limited time. And maintenance fee bills are right around the corner. Call our special toll-free hotline right now, and our team will tell you exactly what your timeshare is worth. Here's our toll-free number.
800-807-3913. 800-807-3913. That's 800-807-3913.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. John Mariotti's riveting new novel, The Chinese Conspiracy, poses a huge question. What happens when nothing happens? What if all forms of electronic communications and computer controls were shut down all at once? This is exactly the frightening prospect in The Chinese Conspiracy. The U.S. government is temporarily helpless as panic spreads. Evil forces are using global extortion to exact a frightening toll. Real-world situations, current technologies add chilling credibility to the Chinese conspiracy. John takes readers from human interest to the global power struggle and back again. Far less deadly than the attacks of 9/11, yet infinitely more disruptive. The Chinese Conspiracy poses the question, what happens when nothing works? John's the president, CEO, and founder of the Enterprise Group, was a director on 6 corporate boards. He was president of Rubbermaid Office Products Group, a multinational group of 9 divisions spanning 4 continents. He led Huffy Bicycles to the position of industry leader as the world's largest bicycle company, an award-winning business author, internationally recognized executive consultant, and keynote speaker. He's written hundreds of articles and columns, 12 nonfiction books. Started his career in the telecommunications industry, was deeply involved in governmental affairs during parts of his career. Currently, he lives in the Columbus, Ohio area. His chilling new novel, The Chinese Conspiracy, has received rave reviews. Tom Quinn saying The Chinese Conspiracy has the intrigue of John Grisham, the spice of Mickey Spillane, and the technical aspects of Tom Clancy. And author John Mariotti, our guest on This Week in America. John, a pleasure. Welcome to the program.
Rick, you left off one thing. Leaping tall buildings and a single bound are not on there.
I was going to add that later. I'm hooking them in later. About halfway through, we do the Superman routine. When you rip off your T-shirt and you've got the Superman T-shirt on under that, then we'll go into that.
I'm not going to do that right now. Maybe 25 years ago, I might have.
But not now. Okay.
Thank you for that kind introduction.
Well, thank you for spending time with us. I love what you're doing with this riveting novel. I'm trying to find all the new adjectives that I can use to describe it. We'll cover many of those as we go through our conversation. This is so well done, basically ripped from the headlines. And we'll talk about some recent events that follow along the message that you have in the Chinese conspiracy. What inspired you to write this? What inspired you and when did you start this?
Okay, I'm gonna try and keep this short, but one of the things that we find as we get older, we get more data and it's hard to edit things out. I got this idea over 20 years ago. I spent my time in electronics and I learned a lot of things that were possible, and that made me frightened. And Y2K, for people who don't remember the Y2K thing, when all the systems were worried that the computers would quit working when the year 2000 came on their calendar. It was a non-event, as it turned out. But what it did was it caused a lot of companies to go out and hire programmers to program and giving them free access to all their stuff. Now, the net effect of that was they also gave them free access to all their stuff.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you can mess. So many people put what's called backdoors, which is the way that a computer junkie can get into a computer and have free reign for a while until he gets thrown out. And that was the first idea that triggered it. Second was I spent my career in operations. And I've spent all my time trying to help companies in America be competitive. And in doing so, you see the pain and suffering that people in small towns go through when their plants get closed, their jobs go to China, and nobody knows what to do about it because there isn't anything they could do about it. And that influenced my choice of who the topic of the novel would be, because China has the largest hacking industry in the world. They have universities where they teach people hacking from the time our kids go to high school and up. And so they literally, everything in this book is technology that is known and possible, which is scary.
Well, it is scary. There's so much, and we've got John on. We're going to really talk and get into this because it's a great story. It's well told, and it's a love story. It's a story of patriotism and good guys. All of the elements that make for a tremendous reading experience are in John's book, The Chinese Conspiracy. How have things changed in 20 years? You're talking about 20 years ago. Technology has changed. What were people hacking? Our pagers back then? How big a threat was it?
There was not nearly the pervasive amount of technology in the hands of consumers in those days, which meant their opportunities to do mischief were limited. But one of the early ones, for people who have been computer junkies or know about it, was called the Distributed Denial of Service, DDoS. Translated, that means they just forced you to shut down your computer because it was acting weird and reboot. Well, what's the effect of that? Well, it takes your computer offline for anywhere from a few minutes to a couple hours. And that was the original hacking. Then they developed these worm viruses that they could implant in computers. And that came in about 2010. And ironically, our government has known about this from that time, because the guy that wrote a book called Cyber War, Richard Clark, was the government expert on this. But he got frustrated and left. Why? Because nobody would listen to him. Nobody would listen to him, and nobody would, and they wouldn't let him hire any of the highly qualified techies because they wanted big money. So Clark said, the heck with it. I'm writing a book, Cyber War, and I'm going to hang it up. So he did. It was a great book, 2007, 2008. But not enough people read it. And most of them that read it wouldn't take it to heart because they already knew it was a problem. So time moved on. Back in the origin point, there may be a couple million network devices. And today, 21 billion network devices.
Say now, that again, say that again. That's billion with a B. I mean, that's staggering.
21 billion networked devices around the world, which are let me say, accessible. If people can get into them, who knows what mischief they can do. The example to bring it to today, one of the biggest healthcare companies in America, United Healthcare, had people that got into their computer systems and were there for a week before they were detected. This just happened this past year. They got access to 190 million That's 190 million names and information on Americans.
Wow.
190 million out of 330 million. How's that? That's the magnitude of what this can be. And the thing I talked about in the book is I'm trying to scare people, but I want to scare them not to dig a hole in the ground and hide. I want to scare them to take some kind of action and to really understand it. And I can't write a technical book about it because who would read the long technical book? So I wrote a love story, a story of redemption. The hometown hero comes home, tries to help save his town, finds the girl he always wanted available. That's good news. And and then he starts getting into what's going on there. And the scary part about the way the Chinese do things is they don't make a big fanfare about it. They sneak in and hide. And the second line to remember is, how do you fight an enemy that you can't find or see?
No, that's
first
interesting.
First of all, what happens when nothing works, and how do you fight an enemy that you can't find or see?
How do you? Is there a way that we should be able to counter that to some extent?
The answer is very carefully. Very carefully. Because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You know that,
yes,
because you've been around the world for a while. And what happens is, if you try to take too much overt action, they've developed systems now to show you how things have progressed. They used to be, you got a worm out, a worm or a virus on your computer, and you turned the antivirus software on, and the antivirus software cleaned it out, and you were good to go. And then came what they call these replicating worms, multifocal. There's all kinds of technical terms for it, but basically what it means is, in the worm that infects your virus, that infects your computer, they implant a piece of code. So when you go in and try to patch it with antivirus software, it says, fine, I'll take that, but I'm going to add this little piece of code because I saw you were here to see me. That reinstalled the virus again. So you take it out, it reinstalls itself. Finally, last year, in fact, last spring, Microsoft owned up to it. The article sitting in front of me says, Microsoft says attacks hit its server software. They admitted that they were getting so sophisticated at putting these self-replicating worms in their computers that they were having trouble fixing them fast enough.
Now, amazing.
Parallel this with the human interest story. This all takes place in a small town in West Virginia that used to be a coal mining town. It has a mountain. It's about 2,500 feet tall. The mountain has the elevator, and it goes down to a mine underneath it, a cave, where they did coal mining. Well, the Chinese think, hey, this is a pretty good deal. If we put all our transmission stuff on top of a 2,500-foot tall transmission tower located in West Virginia and draw a 750-mile circle around it, you can get about two-thirds of the population of the United States from one location. And then they use military jamming software and traditional worms and viruses. Every bit of technology that existed and that existed then exists now. It's just faster, more sophisticated, and more scary. And the reason is that how many people here are like me, and probably you, that don't manage their passwords very well, that don't update things when they get patches they need to put in very well or at all, and they depend on that human negligence and apathy. So I wrote this book at the time, starting to be a warning, an alarm for people to say, pay attention. The enemy is here already. It's not coming. It's here. It's embedded. And if you have something you don't check periodically, you can have it in your system and not even know it. Meanwhile, it's scraping everything that you know and using it against you. If not, maybe they don't. How many times have you gotten postcards or letters saying, we need to inform you that your information has been compromised? I've got three of them on my desk that came last week.
Basically, every day something happens.
Yeah. And what do you do with them? Well, the answer is it's a class action suit. Anybody knows about class action suits knows that the only ones that make money on class action suits
are the lawyers. Yep.
Okay. So you don't do that. You basically take it and look at it and say, well, do I need to sign up as part of this? And unless it's something really big and material, as the accountants would say, you just throw it in the wastebasket and hope nothing happens. But think about it. That can happen. Now, if you want to take the next step, and this, some of this is in the book, some of it's inferred in the book, some of it's stated in the book, so I'm not going to tell you endings, I'm not going to tell you what happens along the way. Let me tell you that these are not Chinese government people, per se. They are Chinese government people who are the ministers of information industry in China. And they don't like the way China's being run. So their goal, which they state early on in the book, is to not just take control of the United States and dominate it, but take control of China and oust the leadership of China and take control of that.
More with John Mariotti, author of The Chinese Conspiracy, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170. People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Attention all timeshare owners. Do you want to know what your timeshare is really worth? Timeshares do have value. Don't throw away thousands of dollars with nothing in return, with only a promise to cancel your timeshare without a guarantee. And here's the best part. Should you decide to unlock the true value of your timeshare and get started, the burden of your maintenance fees completely will stop. We are so confident in our services that we will pay your maintenance fees while you sell for what your timeshare is truly worth. Don't delay this offer. It's only good for a limited time. And maintenance fee bills are right around the corner. Call our special toll-free hotline right now, and our team will tell you exactly what your timeshare is worth. Here's our toll-free number.
800-807-3913. 800-807-3913. That's 800-807-3913.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Now back to This Week in America and our guest, John Mariotti, author of The Chinese Conspiracy. Wherever books are sold, we'll give you all that as we go through, and of course, links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Wei Ying, am I saying that correctly? He's the Minister of Information, and he has global ambitions, doesn't he?
Well, and what happens is, we know that in society, and I'm getting sort of into the weeds a little bit now, but we have short time frames in our world because our country's only existed for 200 years, and we want things to be done in days, hours, or weeks, or minutes, or seconds.
Yes.
The Chinese use a whole different calendar and clock. They have long-term plans. They don't mind if it takes them a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years. I remember when I was in the bike business, we asked him one time, we were selling bicycles in China, and we're working with Chinese suppliers, but we realized quickly that you didn't want to try and compete with Chinese companies because they would crush you. Why? Because they were subsidized by the government. They didn't need to make money. But one of the, you know, we kept saying, how we look at their bikes, and their bikes are built like tanks. They're heavy as can be because you'll see people, two, three, four, five people riding on a bicycle carrying loads around China. And we remember one of our guys said, how long will your bicycles last? And this little Chinese guy looked him up and down and said, for your lifetime at least. Now, that shows you the difference between how
yes,
the Oriental global circular mindset, long-term time. Now, that's built into their plans. Their plans are that if they can go undetected long enough, and how they, and now my hero of the book, my protagonist, is a global consultant. He escaped from his small town and got a big-time job in the world and was traveling all over. He didn't realize while he was gone, the factory that was the lifeblood of his town was being compromised by Chinese invasion. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story because it helps set it up. It is not unlike what was done in many cases. You don't have to plant too much information wrong to get people to have a bad financial report and to come to go to sale or to force them into bankruptcy. And I remember somebody asking them, well, what really gave you this idea? I said, well, my mother gave me a book at age 16 or 17. And the book was called Hiroshima, written by John Hersey. Very thin book. And she said, honey, you need to read this. Because Americans were then just hiding under their desks. You know, they didn't know where to go. The nuclear threat was so great in those days. But I remember reading that book and saying, oh my God, what if somebody did this? Well, I just wrote a book about, oh my God, what if somebody did this? And except they don't want to do what's happening in Ukraine. They don't want to blow the country up. If they're going to take over a country, they want to leave it all intact and then control it.
Ah, okay.
That's different. See, Russia has a simplistic approach. You know the old saying, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail?
Oh, yes.
Well, Russia has a simple approach. What Russia says is, we will blow you up and keep throwing money and people and weapons at you until you give up, except they didn't count on the Ukrainians being tough and resilient and getting the rest of the world behind them. But the challenge is, this Chinese conspiracy in my book have not been discovered yet. The only people find it, they stumble on it by accident in this small town. Why? Because they're testing it at 3 a.m. They shut everything down for a few minutes. And if that works, good. And then you go to the next test. Then you run it, put it all back on. So the people in the town start noticing that nothing works about 3 a.m. They don't know why. They turn the radio on, nothing, TV, nothing, computer, nothing. What everybody doesn't realize when they think about this is global positioning systems. Most people know what those are.
Yes.
That's because outside we can have nav systems in our cars and all that stuff. Well, one of the biggest users of global positioning systems is the U.S. military. They use it for their warfare planning. Hello?
Okay.
Now, imagine that just shut down. Air traffic control. I mean, the opening of the book, and it won't be too big a spoiler, it's a prologue, and it's set in a few places in Manhattan. All the horns are blaring from the cars. Why? Because all the lights have turned green at the same time. And you have nothing but pileups of crashes at intersections, yes, where both cars thought they were okay. And so somebody says, well, let's call somebody. Ho, 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 try that. So they pick up the phone. All you hear is a hiss. They turn on the TV. All you see is snow. They go to the internet and say, server not responding. Now, I ask everybody your program reaches America. Everybody that uses technology, imagine how you feel when it's down for just a few minutes or a few hours.
Oh, yeah, go crazy.
Whatever it is you're using. Now, just imagine that happening on everything. Literally everything at the same time. And so my hometown heroes discover that this is a very bad thing that's going on. So they start snooping around. Of course, it's a traditional redemption love story. They peer up with his old girlfriend and her son, who just came out of the military as a technology expert in the military. And so he knows how this stuff works. And they said, well, we got to do something about this. So they first try and tell some of the authorities. And the authorities said, look, we got bigger fish to fry. We got people launching bombs and stuff like this. Okay, well, what can we do about it? Well, not much. We'll tell you what, we'll give you two or three people to work with you. That's all we can spare.
Wow.
And that's about as far as I'm going to go in the story, because Margaret Mead was the famous person who wrote, said, a small group of truly committed people can change the world. And this is an example of how that can happen. But in the meantime, you will suffer mightily, because these people are terrified. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their livelihood. Their plant, which was once the lifeblood of the town, is closing. And what are we going to do? And so the hometown hero comes home, and he's supposed to have a solution. Well, not exactly. He starts getting beaten up by these funny looking people that are what they call the motel Indians. They hired Pakistanis to help them during Y2K. Pakistanis were really good programmers. And what the Pakistanis did to embed themselves in a place where they'd never get noticed is they just run the Motel 8 in town. And anybody stayed in a Motel 6 or Motel 8 or any of those, they know that almost all of them were bought by people from the Pakistan, India part of the world because it was a good investment and got them a job in the United States. So I didn't use anything that's that made up in this book except for the heroes and the patriots and their resilience and their diligence and their unwillingness to quit and finally get somebody's attention to help them. And so I wanted to keep the element of hope in people's minds. It's a story. It's not a technology book. People say, oh, I don't know technology, but I put all the technical terms in one place, about 10 pages or 10 chapters into the book. And if you want to look at what all these things mean, but anybody that knows what AI is doing these days would not like to have these kind of hackers use AI to amplify the power of their problems. It's bad enough to have an enemy you can't see and you don't know how to attack, but it's worse to have one who's getting into your critical information. And I sat down as I was looking after preparing for this. I wrote it. I had a little piece of paper to make notes. Sound the alarm. This is a real world story, a hidden threat from China, and it is not coming. It's here. And how do we know that? Well, just one example. Do you know that all of the ports that ships from China come in, all those cranes that do that?
Yes.
They use Chinese software. Do I have to say any more?
Okay. Enough said.
That's an open door for them. It's an enemy no one can see because it's hidden. They don't make a big deal of it. They don't want to be in the news. They just want to be able to do what they want. So then when you say, what happens when nothing works? Well, we learned from Iran and Russia that blowing up the places that you want to dominate leaves rubble. Not a good thing.
No, no.
But this is, instead of weapons of mass destruction for the WMD, this is a WMD weapons of mass disruption. Because all you have to do is disrupt a company to throw it into chaos, disrupt a country and throw it into chaos, and then fear and risk come right to the top of your mind. What's it mean to me? Now, I wanted to write a thriller, and the formula for writing thrillers is first you put your protagonists in various kinds of danger.
Yes.
And then they get out of it, and just about the time you think they've gotten out of it, they get into some different kind. And just you get the drift. That's how people write thrillers. And I studied this before. I'd written a dozen business books before this. Much easier to write. Writing novels is harder because you have to describe every place you talk about, every circumstance. And I was even hoping someday this might make it to the big screen. But movies have gotten so technology oriented. Now I'm saying I want to be a streaming guy. But nobody has brought me a movie deal yet. I'm basically books in every online bookstore on earth that I know of. And I now have audiobook, ebook, and paperback. And I push the prices down to within the range that anybody can afford them. On Amazon, $15 for a paperback, $5 for an ebook, and the audiobook's a little more than $20 because you have to pay somebody to read the book out loud to you.
Yes.
But this has been a very interesting ride for me because I was a professional in other industries, but not in publishing. And so getting a book out there and telling people about it is why I look to people like you, Rick, and your show that reaches not just techies, not just business people, but Americans. Thank you for your help, Rick. And any time that you want to come back, this is changing so rapidly, I'm sure in 3 to 6 weeks or 8 months, I'll be smarter than ever.
Well, I've got my 18.
Have a wonderful day.
I've got 18 more pages of notes, so I guarantee you we'll be coming back and doing this again. The book is so well done, The Chinese Conspiracy. John Mariotti, that's Mariotti. His website is shape-shifters.com.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.